Psalm 91. We'll look at Psalm 91 again. You know, spend some time focusing again on verse 1. I want to get into some things, some specific things there tonight that I didn't get to touch on last week. But I won't read, just for the sake of time, I won't read the whole psalm. But Psalm 91:1 in the Amplified says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand." And so I want to focus tonight. I don't want to do a bunch of review. I think I just want to focus here tonight on that last statement, "whose power no foe can withstand." And in the King James, that isn't there, but it's implied by the name they use, because they refer to the shadow of the Almighty. And first of all, the shadow is just, all it is a reference to a place of protection, a place of refuge, a place of safety or defense. And again, if we look at this psalm as being a psalm that is speaking of who we are as new creations in Christ and what we have in the realm of the Spirit, that's really what that's talking about there. It's not talking about some little hiding place. I know there's a song, "You Are My Hiding Place," and all of that, and it's a beautiful song, but really, I really believe that's just, again, talking about new creation realities, who we are, understanding that there's a difference between our who we are in the Spirit and who we are in the natural. Last week, we spent quite a bit of time talking about learning how to differentiate between the two and not consulting with your body, your flesh, to determine whether or not you're healed. You know, any more than how many of you get up in the morning and consult your flesh to determine whether or not you're saved, when we know to take that by faith. We know that we're not to be moved by what we feel. And so we need to learn to do that when it comes to healing and other areas of salvation as well. But here it goes on to say that dwelling in the secret place, in other words, I believe this is talking about learning who you are in the Spirit, learning who you are as a new creation, that person will remain stable. That's talking about having your heart established, having your heart fixed, trusting in the Lord, having your heart established. But it says that that person that is established and fixed there, it says they're in the shadow of the Almighty. And the name Almighty here is the name El Shaddai. And that's where this phrase, "whose power no foe can withstand," comes from. Because El Shaddai means the God Most High, the God All-Powerful, and the God Most Omnipotent. And so, you know, when you think of most, is there anything beyond most?
No,
there's nothing beyond most. Most is like the greatest in amount or degree. It's the greatest extent of something. And so there isn't a God greater than our God. The devil isn't bigger than God. You know, when the devil tries to tell you what he's going to do to you, he's just a stupid liar. You know, I always try to remind people that the Bible says the devil is the father of all lies. And if you know someone, and you know they have a problem with telling the truth, that they're a liar, and they come to you and they tell you something, well, do you just accept what they say and start governing your life by what they say? No, you don't. You know they're a liar, and so you know you don't even have to take what they're saying at face value. You just dismiss it. And so the devil's a liar, and so he might try to tell us he can outwit us, or he can outwit God, or he can outfox God, or he can do something to us that, you know, no, he can't. He cannot. He can only do what we allow him to do. And that's why having our minds renewed is so important. So it says that it's El Shaddai that we're talking about here. He's the Most High God. He's the most powerful. He's the most omnipotent. In other words, there isn't a power greater than his. There isn't anything. Nobody can trump God. Trump. Not even him. He can't do it either, right? So we love our president, but we love our God better. Amen?
Amen.
So El Shaddai, the most God, the most high God, the most powerful God, the most omnipotent God. And so that's why the Amplified Bible translates that, adds this little phrase, "whose power no foe can withstand." And so I think right away I think about what it tells us in the scriptures about resisting the enemy and resisting him from the onset of something. You know, the devil can't withstand the power of God. There's nothing he's got that enables him to withstand the power of God. What's withstand? It means to survive or to resist or to bear up under it or to weather it or to tolerate or to hold out against it. He can't. The enemy cannot. The demonic realm cannot hold out against God because they're just little puny pipsqueaks. I don't know a better word, but they're just little puny, powerless pipsqueaks in comparison. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't some things that the enemy's able to do, but it's only through deception. Yeah. He just can't move into our lives and just do whatever he wants. Yeah. He's a deceiver, and that's the only way he can accomplish what he wants to. He usurps our authority by getting us to believe his lies. And so if we believe, if he says you're sick and you believe it, well, guess what? So that's what we have to guard against. He has to be resisted, and he has to be resisted from the onset. That means the moment something begins to challenge and come against what the Word of God says, you resist that. You don't, and you do it from the onset. You don't wait until it's taken up, set down roots. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we talked about how important it is to have a good foundation. Well, you know, the worst time in the world to try to lay a foundation is in the middle of a raging storm, or trying to dig out a foundation and lay a new one. You don't wait until the storm is raging to do that. You make sure that your foundation is laid before the storm hits, because that's the life that's going to survive an attack, that's going to survive a hit. And so there's nothing the enemy has that can withstand the power of God. But the thing is do we believe that? See, it isn't just the fact that's a truth. Do you believe that truth? Are you allowing that truth to govern your life, to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do? And so whatever the enemy intends for your harm, which is always to steal, to kill, and to destroy, nothing he has can withstand that power. The Most High, most omnipotent, most powerful, most high God. Nothing the enemy has can withstand that. Nothing he has can hold out against it. Now, he may try to make it look that way. You know, you probably have all experienced that. Maybe you have a headache or something that comes on, and you take your stand, and you begin to say what God's Word says, and it doesn't seem like anything changes. Well, you know what? You just hold your ground, because it'll change. It's got to give place to the healing power of God, or to the power of God. And so what the enemy intends for our harm, it cannot withstand the power of God. It cannot, because God is more powerful. God's power is greater. And that power is not in heaven. And I think this is where a lot of people miss it. They're looking heavenward and looking for God to send down some lightning bolts of power into their life. You know, they're looking heavenward, and they're trying to get God to just rain something down on them. Well, that was maybe true under the old covenant, but under the new covenant, that isn't how things are anymore. God's living on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe one of the biggest challenges for us is to learn and to get to know the Holy Spirit, to get to understand his ministry, part of which, a huge part of his ministry, is revelation. It's enlightening and illuminating our minds and teaching us what the Word says and how it applies to us. And so that power isn't in heaven, it's in our born-again spirit. And the one good example of this is in Mark chapter 5, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Why don't you turn there? We'll just look at that quickly. In the ministry of Jesus. And of course, people go, well, that was Jesus. But Jesus was the second Adam. Jesus came as a human being to show us what a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, what a life anointed by the Holy Ghost would look like. And so in Mark chapter 5, we know this story about this woman who had this terrible condition for a number of years. And let's see if I can find it here. Mark chapter 5. Starting in, this is right after he's approached by Jairus about his daughter, who is at home dying, basically. And this woman kind of interrupts his journey to the home of this Jairus, and starting in verse 25 of Mark chapter 5, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years," so this had been going on a long time. You know, you can get pretty discouraged after something lasts that long. You know, whether you're dealing with a financial problem or a marital problem or health issues or maybe just being oppressed or depressed, the longer it goes on, the harder it is for most people to deal with it. Because they, again, begin to consult the natural side and the way things are going to see whether or not that's the truth or whether God's word is the truth. Well, if God's word was true, this would be this way. No, that's not true. We have an enemy, and he's going to resist us every step of the way if we allow him to, if we allow him to continue to. But it says she had been like this for 12 years, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. That's horrible. This woman, not only was she very sick and getting worse by the day, but she was broke because of what she'd experienced. And she had no hope under the hands of these physicians to get any better. It says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately, knowing that God sent power beams down from heaven, does it say that? No, it says he knew in himself that virtue had gone out from him. It didn't come down from heaven. It came out of him. It came out of the Holy Ghost that lived on the inside of him. Remember Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus was a type or a model of what every believer is. We have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. So that virtue came out of him. He didn't look to God and go, God, get her. In fact, Jesus wasn't really even involved in this. He was just kind of an innocent bystander that somebody came and placed a demand on the power of God because she had heard. What she had heard was that people touched him and got healed. And so Jesus, it says in verse 30, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Disciples kind of joked about that, laughed at him. And then the woman came and explained what had happened. And, of course, we know the rest of the story, that she went home whole. And so Jesus didn't direct her to look to God in heaven for this power that she needed or this healing that she needed. He felt it leave his body. We have that same spirit. This is the thing I want you to think about. I try to get my head around this almost every day when I meditate. The same spirit.
Yes.
The very same spirit.
Amen.
That dwelt in Jesus. The same Holy Ghost that raised him from the dead.
Amen.
If you're born again, and spirit lives on the inside of you. I mean, can we even get our heads around that? The same spirit, not a little piece of him or something like him. The same spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same spirit. And so the same way he operated in Jesus, he'll operate in us. But we have to learn about him. We have to learn about his ministry. So the power isn't with God in heaven. It's in us. And that's something we've got to get our minds renewed to. So when did we receive it? Well, Acts 1 tells us that we received it when the Holy Ghost came upon us. Jesus says, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Of course, one of the reasons for that power is to be a witness. But it's not limited to that. That's just part of what that power is for. He said, you shall receive power. I love the Amplified. It says, you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. And that word might just is talking about great and impressive power or strength. So that's what we receive. Now, does that have anything to do with what you feel? No, any more than healing has what to do with you, what you feel. it's not an issue of what we feel. We don't consult our flesh to determine the truth of God's word. We never consult our flesh. We don't stop and go, oh, you know, could God's word really be true because I don't feel like it's true. No, there's no way for you to do that any more than there's any way for you to consult your flesh to tell if you're saved, born again. Yeah. It's that's something that took place on the inside of you, and what's of the spirit is spirit, and what's of the flesh is flesh. And they there's the disconnect there. And that's a hard thing for us to understand and to accept. And so, you know, I think a really good way, a really good natural example of understanding the power of God, and we've heard this used before, but would be electrical power. If we could understand electrical power, like we have these electrical service in this building, and we've got these outlets here, and electrical power can manifest in a myriad of ways, can it? Depending on the demand that's placed on it. So it can wash, it can, you know, you can plug things in that can cause what, you can wash, you can dry, you can cut, you can curl, you can, I mean, think about all the things, electrical appliances, you can compute, you can, help me, I'm thinking of women things here.
Can kill.
Light. Clean. I mean, think of the things that the ways that electrical power can be made manifest, depending on the demand that's placed on it. And I think God's power is the same way. I think we focus so much on healing power or prospering power or delivering power, but all of those are very similar to the natural example of electricity. It just, what demand is being placed on the power of God? Well, it can save, it can forgive and cleanse, it can heal, it can make whole, it can open blind eyes, open deaf ears, loose a tongue that's dumb, or whatever that word would be. It can raise the dead, it can deliver. I think about just restoring to wholeness in general. It can multiply food and water. Think of some things under the old covenant. Now, they operated a little differently than we did. We've got something better. But think of the things that the Holy Ghost did or the power of God accomplished under the old covenant. A donkey talked. That's pretty amazing. An axe head floated. Waters parted. I mean, we just could go on and on and on. Fire came down from heaven and devoured some people. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that the power of God, the ways that the power of God manifested. And but the challenge for us isn't in acquiring the power. Amen. Because we've already got it.
Amen.
We've already got the power. It's not the challenge is not in acquiring the power. The challenge is renewing your mind to it. That's the very first thing, is getting your mind renewed to that whatever you have a need for in your life right now, you've got the means for that to be met abundantly. Because Ephesians 3:20 says that God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And what's it say? According to what God can do? No, it's according to the power that works in you. So it's according to the power that you're learning how to put to work in your life. And so, but we have to renew our minds to that. We have to get our minds renewed to what's resident in us by the person of the Holy Spirit, that there's no limits. You know, we've heard Andrew Womack has taught a wonderful message called Take the Limits Off God. Take your limits off. Stop limiting God to the little, and that's a challenge for all of us. You know, you might reach a certain place in the things of God and then think, well, you've got it made. No, take the limits off and go farther. You know, and so in Ephesians chapter 1, a very familiar passage of scripture, but Paul prayed that the church would gain power, the power to understand or gain knowledge to understand the power. Let me say that again, that they would gain the knowledge to understand that power. And he said it came by revelation. And so if we want to understand this power greater, we need to be thanking God for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that he's given us so that we can know and understand the exceeding greatness. I mean, think of the words that are being used there, the exceeding greatness of this power. And then he just describes what that power is just briefly. He says it's the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now think, not only did it raise Christ from the dead, that power went into him, quickened him, brought him back to life, raised him up out of death, hell, and the grave. And I think, okay, so if that power was enough to raise him out of death, hell, and the grave, what do we face that even compares to that? Anything? Do we face anything in our natural lives that compares to death, hell, and the grave? And Jesus, I just imagine all these little demonic imps just hanging on him, trying to hold him down there as he's being raised up out. Just these little demons just trying to hold him. They couldn't do it. And so that's the power of God. He said that's the same power that we have. The same power that it took to raise him up out of the grave, out of death, regenerate his spirit, and place him at God's right hand. That's the power. He said you need a revelation to understand that power. And so Amen. That means we need to spend time meditating on the power of God, meditating on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to accomplish through that. And Paul says, I'll never stop praying this for the church. So if Paul felt that he shouldn't stop praying that for the church, then we shouldn't stop praying that for the church. Amen? For ourselves. And when you're reading those passages, just personalize it. Just thank God. Thank God that he has given you that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Again, we don't have to ask God for that spirit. We thank him for what he's already given us. And then thank him for the fact that our eyes are being enlightened, that we'll know these things. And he talks about three different things, which I really believe that if you broke them down or if you simplified them down about as much as you could, it would be those three things would be who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, if we know those things, we will be fixed and we will be stable. And no matter what the devil brings, we're not intimidated by it. You know, it's like we've said over the years, those are just momentary light afflictions. Amen? That's all they are. And so spend time meditating on the fact that spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but I don't think we can say this enough. He dwells in me. He lives on the inside of me, and he will do what he did in Christ, he'll do in me. What he did through Christ, he'll do through me. He will do the same thing. So I'm just, for the sake of it, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He said, this is the Amplified, and the Amplified's really good here. It says, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, this is starting in verse 17, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. How? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set-apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. Now, he didn't say in heaven, did he? Didn't say in heaven. He says it's in and for us. In and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted. I don't know why I laugh, but I just think about, why do we stress over some diagnosis that the doctor might bring when this power has already been tested and raised somebody up out of hell and death and the grave and seated him at the right hand of the... Why would we stress over a financial challenge or a physical challenge? Why would we even allow that to even come out of our mouths? Remember, we had to stop letting our mouths represent our flesh and limit them to represent what our spirit man is. Amen? So it says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named, above every title that can be confirmed, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. So we have to understand, it takes a revelation to fully understand this. So we never stop thanking God for that revelation. Never stop thanking him for that. for a revelation of this exceeding great power that we have on the inside of us. I mean, if we could only just see into that realm and see what we really look like, I think it would blow us away. Let's see, where do I want to go here? Then the other side of the challenge, again, it's not a challenge to appropriate the power. The appropriating has already been done. It's like having a bank account. It's already there. First of all, you have to know you got the bank account, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got this huge inheritance that's sitting there. First of all, the first thing is just knowing you've got it. And then it's learning how to tap it, how to use it, how to take advantage of what's there. And so it's not learning to appropriate what's there. That already belongs to us. It's first of all getting our mind renewed. I'm not appropriate, but acquiring, because it's already been given. It's not an issue of acquiring. It's an issue of renewing, and then learning how to release that, to release what's already on the inside of us. And so there's the most obvious way to me that the scripture seems to address and say the most about is through the spoken word, is just through what we speak out of our mouths. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? It says, if you read it in alternate translations, it says she kept saying. She just kept saying. She kept saying within herself, if I can just get my hands on him, I'm going to get what I need. Now, of course, you know, it's different for us. We don't have to get our hands on somebody. We just have to tap into what's on the inside of us. Amen? Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 11 or 12, says that if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it says he will quicken your mortal body. That means make it alive with the life of Christ himself. That's what that's talking about. The same Spirit that raised him up from the dead, that made him alive, it says if he dwells in you, then he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Christ. And so, again, these are just things that we may say, yeah, I know that. I know that. How much are we experiencing it, though? Mm-hmm. We need to experience it, not just know it. So we need to learn how to release it. And this, again, it's like having that electrical power. It's not just healing. It's not just power to heal. It's power to deliver. It's power to prosper. Doesn't it talk about the power to prosper under the old covenant that God would give us the power to get wealth? So it's the power to prosper, the power to walk above oppression. That whatever we need in our lives, there's more than enough. There's an exceeding great surpassing power to enable us to deal with it. And so we need to get our minds renewed to it. Then we need to learn how to release it. And the easiest way, I think, for us is to just talk it. Talk what the word says about ourselves. That's the truth. What your body is experiencing, what your bank book is experiencing, what your emotions are experiencing are just temporary. Mm-hmm. They're totally subject to change. Proverbs 18:21, really, really familiar passage of scripture. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you talking? Are you talking the junk? Are you talking all the junk that your body's dealing with, that you're having problems with, all the talent? Are you talking that? Are you talking the financial problems? Are you talking the depression? Are you talking the marriage problems? What are you talking? Whatever you're talking is what is being released. Now you think, well, the devil's doing that to me. Well, the devil might throw up a little flag, but you know, if you agree with what he's doing and that's what you align your speech with, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, and it says, and those who indulge it, the tongue, will eat the fruit of it. So sometimes we don't like the stuff that's going on in our lives, but how much have you been talking what you're experiencing? It's just a thought. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says, a good man from his inner good treasure, what's the inner good treasure? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things. And the evil man out of his evil inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. Well, it's interesting because if you back up a verse, how do those things get flung out in our lives? How does that happen? Well, Matthew, just jump back one verse. Verse 34 tells us how. It says it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So, you know, this is just an old, really old, comfortable teaching that we've heard for years and years. But then I think these things kind of come and go. They get emphasized for a while, and then people get a little bit in the ditch, and we start being confession police with each other. But, you know, we need to have enough sense to make sure that our tongue is representative of what we are in the spirit instead of what's going on in the natural. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
And that, you know what, that just takes discipline. And that's, you know, it's Psalm 119, you know, talking about the meditation of our hearts being acceptable, the words of our mouth being acceptable in God's sight. You know, what if we truly were, it says here that by our words we will be justified and by our words we'll be condemned. What if that, if you had to take that at face value, that's scary. It's a scary thought. That we may be judged by our words, the things we've said about our lives. That's kind of a scary thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's definitely worth looking into. But it says that we're the ones that fling these things forth. And the primary way that the power of God is flung forth into a sick body or into a financial problem or into a marriage situation or any kind of problem that you could possibly have need of is through the words, believing, faith-filled words. Now, I'm not just saying you just speak, you know, oh, I'm going to try that. It needs to be faith-filled words, words that you believe in your heart, and then you speak that out of your mouth. And then, of course, Philemon, verse 6, chapter 1, only one chapter, but verse 6 says, the communication of our faith becomes effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. What are we acknowledging?
Yeah, that's good.
Are we spending all our time acknowledging what the junk that's going on? You know, I'm sick, I'm this, I've got that, I'm, you know. It's really hard when you know these things and the people that you love talk garbage. And without getting too preachy or saying things that are too in their face, you know, it's tough. That's a challenge. But it says we have to acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ. Where is it? It's in us. It's not in heaven. Yeah, no, yes, it's in heaven, but it's in us, right? It's in us. It's in us. If we want them to become effective in our lives, then we've got to start acknowledging them. If I want healing to be effective in my life, then I have to acknowledge healing. If I want the financial power of God to work in my life, to be effective in my life, then I have to start acknowledging that. I have to stop talking the junk, talking the circumstances, talking what's happening, the natural things that I'm dealing with. Stop it. Just stop doing that. Stop letting your mouth be an ambassador for your flesh. Make it represent your spirit man. And you know what? People may think you're nuts. They may challenge you. They may say you're a liar because they may see what you're going through in the natural and say, well, that's not... It doesn't matter what people think anyway, does it? It really doesn't matter. You know, when it comes right down to it, what matters is walking in, proving the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in our lives. That's what really matters. It's getting to that place that we all belong. I'm tired of seeing people saved for 30, 40 years, and they're still depressed. They're still fighting with the same stuff they fought with 20 or when they first got saved. Why? You know, the conclusion, the obvious conclusion would be, well, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that what you could say? This doesn't work.
Yep.
But could we, with integrity, say that we're doing what we know to do to cause it, right, to cause it to be effective in our lives or to be manifest in our lives? Are we doing what we know the Word tells us to do? Are we renewing? I mean, you can never stop renewing your mind to these truths. Never. You know, I've been sharing with you. I've read Psalm 91 every day probably for the last 6 months and meditated. And this passage, this very first verse, I have focused and fed on it. And every time I would confess that, I'd say, thank you, Lord, that I dwell in that realm of the Spirit. I thank you who I am in you. And then I'd thank him for being El Shaddai and thank him for being the God most powerful and most. And then I would say, your power, cancer can't resist it.
Okay.
The after effects of cancer can't resist it.
Right.
Cancer can't return. It can't resist. It cannot withstand that power. So you've got to do that, and you've got to do it, and do it, and do it, and do it until it's more real to you than anything the natural man is saying. And that's, you know what? That's just a discipline. That's all it is. We're not talking about works, like I'm going to confess that into being.
Yeah.
We're just talking about me agreeing with what the truth is already. That's already the truth.
Yes.
It's just me getting my mind renewed to what is already the truth.
That's right.
I'm just basically by aligning my soul, my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions with the truth. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, that it's like you've got the soul and the spirit, or the body and the spirit, and the soul is like this connecting point in between. And if we can turn that and get that aligned properly, the power of God can flow right out of our spirit man into our flesh. Is it something you're going to feel? I don't know. I never felt anything. I never felt any healing power, honestly. The most supernatural part of my journey was waking up in surgery and sensing the presence of God there. I never felt a thing. And there was lots of days I wish I had. Because I felt pretty miserable some days. But you know what? That didn't never stopped me from believing what God's word said. It never, maybe I am really sick. Maybe this is real, you know. Again, consulting the flesh to determine what the truth is. No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so the very first place I believe that we need to align with what the word says is our mouths, our words. What are we speaking out of? There's other ways the healing power of God is released, through the laying on of hands. There's other ways, but I would say the primary way, the one that you have the most control over,
mm-hmm.
is what's coming out of your mouth every day.
Right.
About your life, about your health, about your mind, about your emotions, about the status of your life, your job. I hate my job. I hate my job. I hate my job. Stop it. Just stop that. You know, what do you want? Well, that's what you find something in the Word, and you start thanking God for what's there for you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna cut it off there so we can spend a little bit of time in prayer. But these are just some things that we just need to take note of. We need to stop looking to heaven and asking God to do something that He's already done through by virtue of the new birth. Last time I shared that, it just occurred to me as I was meditating one day that there was little, if any, mention of healing in the epistles. Now, I know in like 1 Peter there's a little bit, and there's some in James, but through the Pauline epistles, which is where we are supposed to live, we should be living in the Pauline epistles, because that is all about who we are in Christ. And it's in Him we live and move and have our being. There's no mention of healing there. Why? I believe it's because Paul knew it was all wrapped up in redemption. It was all wrapped up in what took place in through the plan of redemption. Healing, deliverance, all of it. It was all part of it. You know, we say, well, by His stripes I'm healed. Well, what is that telling us? That was part of the plan of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
The stripes that caused us to be forgiven and to be cleansed of our past sins, those same stripes are what bring healing. The same, it's all like wrapped up in a ball. And Paul doesn't even address, well, you're healed, and then you prosper, and then you know, he gives us some natural things, that some natural advice in Corinthians and things like that. But if we will spend more time focusing on who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ, all those things will just fall in line. They'll just fall in line. Amen? So that's the challenge, is just, first of all, stop letting your mouth just run off. And of course, get your mind fully renewed. Continue to thank the Holy Spirit for His ministry to you. You know, He's just itching to teach us. That is what He wants to do. It says that He's passionate about that, because that's His assignment. he was given, think, Jesus was only here for 33 years on the earth. The Holy Spirit has been here forever. And he's here, and he's got a job he wants to do, and we should be taking advantage of that. Fellowship with him and thank him for what he wants to do in our lives. And he will gladly oblige us. Amen. So there's, you know, it's just your daily devotional time. Instead of just making it some mindless Bible reading, spend some time just talking to him and thanking him for the things that, the realities of his presence in your life and what he wants to do in and through you. Amen. All right. Well.